I want to start from the premise. I believe you all that God is doing something absolutely great. Let me stop for a second, because that's oftentimes taken as a cliche amongst the people of God. Oh yeah, God's doing something wonderful. Blase, blase, blase. Mm-hmm. It's just as a church thing. I honestly believe God is doing something wonderful, and we are in the midst of what's transpiring. I don't just mean with redeeming love. I mean the date, the time, the season that we as the people of God are in. I believe it is absolutely critical that we begin to understand that things are unfolding around us that's unprecedented. So I'm going to share some things tonight that I believe this was a prophetic word to me. And I hope you can understand it from that same prophetic standpoint, because it's a familiar passage of scripture, but the Lord gave me a different perspective. And I'm going to ask tonight if you can take this same word, and maybe we could turn it tonight and just see a different perspective from what God wants to do. And I'll get to the topic in this passage here in a moment. In Judges chapter 6, it is the story of Gideon. And what is interesting when you read this particular story, it's a really unique time. Things were not going good for the people of God. As a matter of fact, the introduction lets you know that they were in such bondage, such poverty, to the Midianites and the Amalekites and the rest of the ites, that things were just so bad that whatever they would produce was being stolen. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It's almost, I can see some similarities in our time. I can see the struggle of believers who are struggling to make it, who are struggling and to hold fast to words and things. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of all of this stuff that's going on, a prophet rises up, speaks to the Israelites and said, well, listen, you remember, this is what God says to you. I brought you up out of Egypt. I told you not to bow down to these other gods and essence, and you wouldn't listen to me. That's why all of this has happened. So there are things that I do believe that have come upon our land. Some of it, I'm going to be honest. It was because of we've abandoned a lot of the biblical principles. We've made a lot of traditional things that we've held on to. We worried about what kind of clothes somebody wearing to church. We worried about things that God does not concern himself with when it relates to salvation. We were so involved in being prosperous that we forgot. The Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, even as your soul prospers. So it was in accordance to the prosperity of your soul. Because Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So Jesus let us know that nothing wrong with prospering, long as your soul is too. So it seemed like we got away from that and got into the, just long as I could get mine, I got to get this prosperity. Well, right around there in Judges chapter 6, all of a sudden, after they had cried out unto the Lord, prophet shows up. Then after that, an angel shows up to Gideon in a place where he's doing something that he ought not to be doing. He's in the wine press threshing wheat. In the wine press, you press wine. You do the grapes. Not thresh wheat. But he's doing it to hide from the enemy. How many believers you know hiding from the enemy now? They just trying to stay. Hopefully he won't see me. Let me keep my head low. I'm going to go to church, but I'm not going to say much. I'm not going to do anything. Hopefully this enemy won't rob me of what I'm trying to produce. Oh, y'all, I feel like I'm picking up a few of y'all now. So here's Gideon somewhere where he ought not to be, doing something that you don't usually do that so you can hide. And in the midst of him hiding, an angel finds him in his hiding place. The angel says, "Thou valiant man of God." He calls the person who's hiding somewhere he ought not to be a valiant or mighty man of valor. So wait a minute, wait, you got to have the wrong person. You understand, I'm hiding. You understand, we don't dealt with 7 years of oppression. Seven is the number of completion. Things have been completed. I'm just dealing with all of this stuff. What in the world's going on? And you had the nerve to show up and say, "I'm the mighty man of valor." Say, wait a minute, let me start telling you about myself. Number one, we poor. Well, all of the Israelites was poor then. Then he said, "I'm the youngest in my family." A lot of times, like we do, we start throwing our credentials up to God on why we can't be used. Here's my resume on why I don't qualify. I'm sure you'd like to look at this. I'm sure when you showed up that you didn't realize who you was talking to. So let me give you my resume of all my failures, all my inabilities. And then God says something to him, or the angel speaks to him and says, "Go in this, your might." Huh? Wait a minute, we just having this whole discussion. In other words, God didn't care nothing about what he said. Guess what? Oh, y'all getting it now. Now y'all figuring it out. Because God is up to something bigger than what we understand. Because when he came to Gideon, listen, this ain't to fix it so you ain't got a thresh wheat in the wine press no more. This is the deliverance of Israel. He says, as a matter of fact, you're going to destroy the Midianites as one man. It's going to be like you fighting one man. If you go back in chapter 6, you realize that they will come down and they camels and people and all that will look like locusts on the ground. And you're going to destroy all of them like it's one man? So he's telling Gideon something bigger than himself. But he's telling it to him in a bad time. I believe we're sensitive to a quote-unquote bad time. Our country is in turmoil. Folk don't, I mean, when have we ever had a place where people, not my president? Really? Who are we now? No matter what, we were at a point where we would agree at least on who our president was and would support him because of our patriotism for our nation. Now we're being actually ridiculed by the rest of the world by saying, okay, our elections was fixed by another country. And we say we're superpower. Sound like a bad time to me. When we got people that's literally willing to go and kill folks from another party simply because they don't like the political party. And they're not terrorists from a foreign country. They are raised right here. It's a new day. I believe it's a tough time. But I'm bringing all that to say, I wanted to get to our theme scripture. And I want to go to Judges chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, I believe. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. And I want to talk about it from the theme of, are you prepared for what God is about to manifest? Are you prepared for what God is about to manifest? I have watched over the years, in particular here at Redeeming Love, because that's where I pastor, I've watched the things that have happened. I remember when we first started out, and I remember how many people were with us and the different things that was happening. And boy, it looked like this was, you know, I'm thinking, man, we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to plant another church in by the end of the year. So many people, so many things going on. It was looking so, it looked so well in the beginning. Let me see if I can find some text from where I'm at here. Judges chapter 7, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. Now, you have to understand that by now, Gideon has had the anointing of God come on him. That anointing caused people to come along beside him. There was a call that went out throughout several of the tribes, and they responded accordingly, sending men to Gideon. So now here's Gideon, who happens to be, the Bible talks about him being on the north side, and he's in the hill. So the enemy, if you will, at this time is in the valley. So because they have an advantage point of being able to look down on the enemy and see them. I want to show something to you. It says, they pitched beside the well of Harod so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. Now, it would seem that the place they camped allowed the Israelites the opportunity to see their enemy that had oppressed them. Now let's just, I need you to go with me in this story. I need us to feel this. I want you to begin to see the masses of individuals in the valley who have oppressed you for 7 years. Let me help you. You've never had the courage before in 7 years to rise up. But all of a sudden, you got the courage to be on the hill looking down at the enemy who covers the ground like locusts. Watch this. The Bible says they rose up early. In other words, now that we know the will of God, we should not be hesitant. Now that we know what the will of God is, we should not be hesitant. What are you waiting on? They rose up early. Let's get up and get this done. Y'all with me? Oh, I'm going somewhere now. Just hang on. In verse 2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Wait a minute. Somebody messed up the math, didn't he? It's so many folk down in the valley, it looked like locusts. The Bible says you can't even count their camel because it looks like the sand of the sea. Now, for those of us that know the numbers here with Gideon, Gideon has 32,000 people. We can count them. Excuse me, God, did I miss something here? We've got 32,000, and you say that's too many, and they got so many it looked like locusts. We can't even count the camels they rode in on. When God is up to something big and he is preparing us, things, it don't matter what it looked like. Yes, you can see this enemy. It looks like he's winning. It looks like it's overwhelming, but it doesn't matter because God is up to something big. My question is, are you prepared for what God is about to manifest? Because all of a sudden, the story was about Gideon. Up until, you got to verse 2. Let me help you. I know I switched it on you. I know that's probably dirty of me. But you understand, the angel showed up to Gideon. The angel tells Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. The angel gets Gideon, again, he gets anointed. All of a sudden, he's calling people. And then we move from chapter 6 to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, all of a sudden, we're on the hill with all of the people that are around Gideon. And then when God starts talking, Gideon, you're not the problem I need to deal with. In other words, the mighty man of valor was already prepared. Work with me a little bit here. Work with me. Tell you, we're going to turn this a little bit tonight. And the Lord said unto Gideon, verse 2, the people that are with thee, too many of them for me to give to the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, wait a minute, not Gideon saying, look what I've done, but the people would say that. Hello? The same people who was too scared for the last 7 years to move. Watch this. God didn't want Israel to think that they would be saved because of their own resources. Listen to this. And I'm talking about, are you ready to manifest what God wants to do? Now watch this. We must be careful not to allow pride to rest in our hearts when God is manifesting what he wants to do. You ever seen somebody go surfing? Surfing is really unique when you look at it. They paddle all the way out, you know, they paddle out there. Then they wait for a wave and they catch the wave. You know, one of the most important things in surfing is the wave. No wave, no surfing. You can have the greatest balance in the world, Donald. No wave, no surfing. So when God manifests the wave, ain't no use of us acting like we got the greatest balance. Ain't no use to act like our board is so good. If the wave ain't there, what good is all of that? Yes, sir. See, we got to be careful of the pride entering in our heart in what God is about to manifest. Just because you ride in the wave of the manifestation, don't get it twisted. It's still his wave. What we want, and you know what they do, Donald? They wait on the perfect wave. Nah, I ain't never been surfing. I just watch TV when they be surfing, you know. But I'm saying, when you got to wait on, okay, so now God is about to manifest the wave. Are we prepared for the wave? That's right, Grayson. Kate, let them know you love them. Show them you love them. That's right. So we must be careful not to allow pride to rest in our hearts when God is manifesting what he wants to do. Listen to this. The pride is what disqualifies you, not the manifestation. What God manifests, that's not going to disqualify you. It's the pride. Nothing wrong with the wave. Ride it. But if you all of a sudden get caught up in you and forget on how to ride the wave, I'm going somewhere. Because I believe we need to be ready to manifest what God wants to do. We need to be able to show this thing in a way that people see God. And I'm serious. I believe what God is doing now, it's so big. I believe that's why the Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. I believe that's why prophetically across the nation and even across the world, you do not hear a clear prophetic word on exactly what's happening right now because it's so big. They only have parts. It's so big. I'm going to share something with you on Sunday that I saw an article today that's mind-boggling. But it will give you an idea of the season we're in. Something I believe is so big that's going to happen. If you look biblically, the Bible's, okay, remember when Joseph was in Egypt? He shaved, changed his clothes, put on the gold chain, and he became prime minister. After that, things fared good for 7 years. Then after that, there were seven famine years of famine. Well, Joseph saved them through that 14-year period, and it went on for a while after that. How long, it doesn't say. But this is what we do know. Then the Bible says, and there rose up a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. So there was a season where things went well, and afterwards came another time. I believe we're about to come into a season where things are about to go well. But there's coming another time. And what we need to do is be able to manifest what God wants to do during that season of things going well. Because see, I believe something has got to happen to make people not like saints. Something has to happen. He says, and you will all be persecuted for my name's sake. Something has got to happen to make people not like the saints. Now, I don't know what that is specifically, but I believe God's, see what I'm saying, how it's not just, oh, in America. I'm talking about globally. I believe God's doing something so big amongst his people that it's going to set the world upside down. Let me get back to my text here. Verse 3. Now, therefore, go to and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So now let's talk about this. God says, listen, this is what I want you to do, Gideon. Notice it's not even about Gideon anymore. Y'all see how it's done changed? He says, I need you to talk to the people, and I need you to say this. Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him go home. Now, what's interesting is because people dress for the part don't mean they're ready for the part. Okay, number one, remember there's enough people in the valley that look like locusts. It's 32,000 of us. It's not enough of us anyway from a numbers standpoint. And 22,000 of us are scared. I'm just trying to make sure we all get the math here. We dressed like we going to battle. But the first chance I can go home, I'm gone. I'm carrying my sword just like you, but if I can get out of here. And God knows that there are people amongst, you know, God has something about fear. He says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. In Revelations, he says, but the fearful and the unbelieving are going to be cast into the lake of fire. I believe one of the things about fear is it means you don't trust God. Now, let me understand. Let me talk about what I'm saying when I say fear. It's not fear. There's a fear, like if you're standing on the bridge and you're hoping the bridge don't go out. Okay, you have a right to not want, you know, you don't want to fall. But there's a point where courage, it makes fear obsolete. Because when you look, when he says, I'm not giving you the spirit of fear, it's actually talking about timidity. It's not paralyzing you where you can't do nothing. We shouldn't become paralyzed and do nothing in life and let the enemy run over us. You don't have that kind of spirit in you. So God speaks to them and said, if y'all are scared, he says, if you're fearful or afraid, and I'm like, isn't that the same? I mean, I was just me wondering that. So obviously God sees it as different. I don't know, maybe some people was just concerned. I don't know. That's a word study for y'all, fearful and afraid. See what's the difference. Anyway, 22,000 people pack up their gear and go. Leave and go home. Leaving 10,000 folks. Now, mind you, the 10,000 of us that's left are looking at an army that looks like locusts. Hello, anybody home? I want to make sure y'all getting to what I'm saying tonight, because when we start turning here, I want it to make sense. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that they of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Now, honestly, if we were war strategists, We would have said at 32,000, we don't have enough people. And then after you send 22,000 of them home, and we sitting here with 10,000 folks, now I'm going like, is anybody else really scared and they just didn't want to go back because they was embarrassed? So I'm questioning the 10,000 that stayed. Oh, I would. I mean, the dynamics just changed. You about to go to war. I mean, you about to jeopardize your life in war. So you, some questions need to be answered. So we've got 10,000 people still there, and the Lord speaks to Gideon again. And he says, there's still too many. Now, I want you to understand something. Gideon is not saying anything. Whatever God's saying to Gideon, he's good with it. You following me? Because I want to show you something. So now verse 4 again. The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water. Now I want y'all to stick with me. He says, and I will try them for thee there. So you ain't even got to do this. I got this. Boy, oh boy. He says, and it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. I want to submit something to you. There are times where God himself will test the readiness of our hearts before he manifests his will. Can we roll back for a second? Remember, the whole thing that's about to happen is the deliverance of Israel. This ain't about you just getting a wheat sandwich. This is the entire deliverance of the nation we're talking about. So before God gets ready to manifest the will that he has for the deliverance of the entire nation, he's testing the will or the hearts of people. Y'all, I believe the same thing is going on today. What do you mean, Pastor? How many folks are going through something and it seems like what they're going through just won't quit? It just won't end. It just keep going on. I mean, no matter what you seemingly do, maybe God is just testing your heart. In other words, are you committed to him beyond your convenience? Because here these people are, he says, I will test them. Gideon, I'm not even going to put this on you. Because you don't know how to look for what I'm looking for now. I'm going to make sure. All I need you to do is if I say take this one, you take that one. If I say lead that one, you lead that one. And I just believe this myself, that there was probably some folks that if Gideon would have looked, he said, oh, I need that brother right there. Oh, yeah. I need that. Yeah, I need that. But they'd have been people that God said no. See, that's why as we have to allow the Spirit of God to use discernment within us when it comes to things that he is doing. Just because it looks like the right person or looks like the right thing to do, what is the Spirit of God saying? Because what's happening now is bigger than just us. You happen to be playing a part in this. Okay. I believe some things are too critical to be lost because of poor human judgment. All right, y'all ready now? We'll turn it up a little bit. So he brought down the people unto the water. So it's a simple water test. You with me? Brought the people down unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon. So Gideon, this is what I want you to do. We're going to do the water test. Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. So he said, okay, this is what we want to do. Gideon, I want you to watch how they drink. Need to go back here. Because if you may have missed this in our reading, but they're in a nice dry place. Place that creates the thirst. If you remember, I believe they camped by the well Harod in chapter 7, verse 1. Made sure they were next to a water source. So now God takes them to a water source. Been out in this mountainous region. I mean, the air is usually a little arid. It's not quite as refreshing sometimes as the valley. So a natural tendency to become thirsty. Walking around with all of this armor on and dealing with the situations of war. So God says, I'm going to give them the water test. I know, we said, well, what's the water test? It's interesting because the water test, look at this. Everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. So how they drink is what separates them. But I need to toss something out to you. The men did not realize that how they quenched their thirst was an indicator of their heart. You might have missed that one. They didn't realize that how they quenched their thirst was an indicator of their heart. How do you quench your thirst? Thirst is one of the most innate desires that a human being has. I don't just mean thirst for water. When you're in the dry places of your life, how do you quench it? What do you do to quench the thirst? He that hungereth and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. How do you quench your thirst when you're in a dry place? What if you knew you were being tested on being used for what God is about to manifest based on how you quench your thirst? What if you knew that how you quench your thirst in a dry place was an indication of your heart? I told you we're going to just turn this a little bit tonight. I'm just giving it to you like I got it. Verse 6. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Let's talk. See how much talk time I got. Okay, 300 lapped by putting their hands to their mouth like a dog. Are you ready? So 300 found a way to get the water in their hand and lapped like a dog. 9,700 decided to bow down on their knees. Look at this. And I'm serious. I'm giving this to you the way I got it, because I was like, oh my goodness. Because it explains a lot. The Lord spoke to me some things about this that I needed to know. The 300 that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, they were in control of their intake of refreshment. They were able to control how much they would intake to refresh themselves. People without discipline, they're not going to last in the move of God. You've got to have some level of spiritual discipline. You've got to be able to regulate what you intake. You have to. Well, Pastor, I don't understand. Well, one of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance, self-control. They demonstrated a level of self-control because watch this. The 9,700 bowed down on both knees and put their mouth in the water. No control of the intake, just overwhelmed by thirst. See, is our thirst, is our desire so overwhelming we just do anything to fulfill them? If we're like that, we're not ready for what God wants to manifest. Some people don't care about anything as long as they get relief. I've been in this thing so long, I don't care. Just give me some water. I'm thirsty. Forget everything else. It's hot out here. My desire is overwhelming. I'll quench it by bowing my knees. When you bow the knee, boy, so you're willing to literally make your desires an idol. Not God's desires, your desires. Everyone else bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Look at this. They demonstrated that they were willing to bow to the dictates of their fleshly desires. I'm gonna bow. This is what my flesh needs. I'm thirsty. I'm going to show you something in a minute. Let's look back at the 300 that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth. Not only were they in control of their intake of refreshment, they were able to maintain a state of readiness while being refreshed. What do you mean, Pastor? I want you to see something for a moment. I want you to see a warrior dressed in his war attire. I want you to see the warrior with the sword on his side. I want you to see him with all of his armor on. I want you to see the warrior that's bending down, getting enough in his hand, who is now still capable of pulling a weapon out. Then I want to see the warrior who is bending down with all of his armor on and his sword and whose face is embedded or immersed in the water, who is no longer aware of what his real primary purpose is, which is to be a warrior. He bowed the knee to his fleshly dictates. It was more, this warrior who bowed the knee was so consumed with what he wanted, he forgot about the call of God. After 7 years of oppression, all you could think about is quenching your thirst. On the brink of one of the greatest manifestations of the will of God, you were consumed with your thirst. Because it was an indicator of their heart. Y'all still with me? So look at this. The 300 who lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, they demonstrated a commitment to the call more than self-gratification. Sure, they were thirsty, but they got enough to keep them going because they knew what the call required. I got to be ready anytime, any moment. I mean, while I'm drinking this water, they could blow the horn right now and we got to go to war. I can't be having, I'm all down in the mud and all my stuff, trying to get my sword out. Anything could happen any moment. They were committed to the call at the expense of their own self-gratification. But see, everybody's not like that. There are some people that actually have an agenda. Yeah, they made it. Watch this. If you look at this, this is interesting. They made the first cut. They're not part of the 22,000 that were scared. But their heart still ain't right. You're not scared. Your heart just not right. So God said, now I need to deal with these. Not you, Gideon, because you can't see this. You don't even notice. They all look the same. Look at this. Y'all okay? Watch this. Everyone else that bowed down upon the knees to drink water, they were willing to sacrifice readiness for comfort. What do you mean? Instead of drinking by lapping out of your hand so you were still ready, it's more comfortable for me to just get down here on both knees where I get as much water as I want. So they sacrificed the readiness for their personal comfort. Being ready for what God is calling us in this hour is absolutely critical. What are you abstaining from in your life so you'll stay ready? What are you denying yourself of simply so you can stay ready? God may call at any moment and need you. How are you ready? Or are you going to sacrifice your comfort? This ain't comfortable for me. I want to do this. I want to do this. This is my time to go do so-and-so. This is so your comfort is more important than your readiness. God was evaluating the heart of these people, watch this, by how they drank water. See, we act like God is not looking at stuff. How they drank water. You say drinking water ain't important? Watch this. God said, if you give a prophet a cup of water in my name, you have a prophet's reward. How they drank water was the test. Look at this. Everyone else that bowed down their knees to drink water, they became so immersed in quenching their thirst that the call became secondary. In other words, getting what I want right now is more important than the call of God. That is an absolute danger to each and every one of us, because all of us have a desire for things. There's something we want. There's something we want to accomplish, something we want to do. But that thing can never become more important than the will of God in our lives. If it becomes more important than the will of God in our lives, it will literally disqualify us from manifesting what God wants to do with us. And I need to share this with you. The 9,700 people did not prevent God from doing what he wanted to do. You could think that God ain't going to do it without you if you want to. But I would venture to say, I'm sure they benefited in the sense that they were Israelites, but they never have. Think what it felt like for the 300 people that came back home, talking about what they saw, and you know you could have been one of them. 300 people saw a move of God never before recorded in the scriptures. 300 people saw and experienced God do some things that nobody else had ever seen like that. But 9,700 people had a drinking problem. Well, y'all quiet tonight. Let me wrap this up then. Look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, and you know this story, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. So they missed out simply because they didn't realize that God was testing them with water. What could God be testing us with? Something simple. Notice it was something that everybody was engaged in. It wasn't something big. And you know what? It wasn't something that people would consider holy. And it was about, watch this, God never had a problem with them drinking. It was just how they did it. Saints, I believe that right now we're in the midst of a time where God is allowing us to prepare for what he's about to manifest. And I am asking you to evaluate yourself sincerely. The Bible says, examine yourself, see whether you be in the faith. Take the time to evaluate yourself. What is there anything that can disqualify you from what God is about to manifest? Is there anything that will make you all of a sudden not be able to participate in what you see God doing? I am tired of simply being one of those individuals that have read about it. I want to be in it. I want to be in it. You don't made all of these sacrifices. You don't come this far. And now you can't drink right. Really? You don't got all dressed up. You don't marched all the way out here. And your drinking problem causes you to miss out. I just believe that God is telling us or giving us an opportunity. I look now back. Remember I started off, I said, all of the people that started off with us. I look now because, let me share some things. Bernard, you could cut that.